Hello, podcast world. Welcome to episode 117 of Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. Meet Dr. Gabby Goh, sport and performance physical therapist, run and injury prevention coach, Boston Marathon qualifier, and founder of Go Run Stronger. Gabby joined me for a fun and informative IG Live Run Chat, where we discussed the value of adding in PT and strength training to your running to be the strongest, best version of yourself. We had a well-engaged audience, and Gabby did a great job answering questions. Other topics included the role nutrition plays in injury, the importance of getting regular blood work done with Inside Tracker, the value of Prevenix supplements can play in getting that dialed in for peak performance. Gabby recently launched Go Run Stronger to help runners reach their goals without injury. They'll be offering monthly subscription to strength and rehab programs, one-to-one premium run and strength coaching, and physical therapy services. This is the first of my summer series run chats with running practitioners focused on keeping runners healthy and on the roads. Hoping you enjoy the watch and listen. Happy Friday, peeps. Welcome IG Live. How's everybody doing today? Hope everybody's getting ready for the weekend. We're gonna be hosting a summer series with different practitioners from the running community that are focused on trying to keep us healthy and strong and keeping us on the roads where we want to be. And my first guest, which I'm excited, I just invited her, is Dr. Gabby Goh, a boss runner.
Hello. And
there she is. How are you, Gabby?
I'm good. I'm sorry.
I was just starting to say some very complimentary things about you.
So, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So everybody, meet Dr. Gabby Goh. Hopefully a bunch of you will already, you're probably already following her because she's an awesome follow on Instagram. But if you're not, it will be super easy for you to jump in and make that happen. But my own particular running journey, for the first time in, I guess, 30 plus years, I had a bone injury, a stress fracture injury, and it really led me into some deep introspection as to how it happened. Like, what was the cause? I need to understand how things work. And I found Gabby's page on Instagram. Her and Running Yana became two of my favorite people to follow because they're so focused on strength and band work and flexibility and drills to keep us healthy. And the more I followed their pages, the more I learned about how it's such a one-legged sport, how we're literally on each leg for just such tiny, tiny amounts of time. And as we transition, if our hips aren't strong enough, if our flexibility is imbalanced from one leg to another, guess what? We end up loading on more on one side than the other, which leads to injuries and all that good stuff. So, Gabby, you've been a huge help to me. I've enjoyed interacting with you on your page, and trying the many different band and stretches and strength things. And we talked about doing this, and you have a really big thing going on to announce.
Yeah.
So I figured this is like perfect timing. So why don't you take it and tell us about your exciting new business that you have going, and you know what you're hoping to do for runners in the community?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the sweet intro. So nice. And I feel like I started my Instagram, I didn't realize like what it could grow to, but being able to hear from like you and other people who send me sweet DMs or comments about how like a 10-second video helps them, like that's so cool. And I feel like we're in a really cool time where like social media can help so many people. And obviously I work as a PT in person, like as my main profession. And so being able to help people in person and then have that reach via social media has just been like so cool for me because what I love, it's what I'm passionate about. But yeah, lots of big things. So just some background. I started run coaching, just me solo. And I loved it. I obviously am super passionate about running, as you are too. And so being able to connect with other runners was so unique and so cool, especially like they're all over like the US, like Colorado, I'm shouting out everybody right now, like California and Texas and just places I'm like, I would truly never have run into you or met you or interacted with you or worked with you. And so absolutely loved run and strength coaching. So I was doing that and I was doing that virtually. And I was also working, as I said, like as a PT in person at my in-person practice. And basically business was doing really well. So I was getting a lot of requests for coaching. But for me, that like one-on-one, very individualized practice is really, really important. And so I knew that if I said yes to everyone, I would lose that. I would lose the really individualized practice that was basically the like foundation of why I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And so, you know, I was like, well, I can keep saying no to people or I can create a solution. So I decided to create the solution, which is Go Run Stronger. So that is the company that I launched this past Tuesday. It was so, so exciting to launch because it has been like months and months of hard work. And I've been so excited to just tell everybody about it. So that was this past Tuesday. So basically now Go Run Stronger is kind of like an overarching business of my run and strength coaching. I hired two wonderful, amazing, talented coaches who are going to help me do some of the one-on-one coaching. And then obviously I'm still working as a PT in person. So that's included in Go Run Stronger. And then the big thing, which is actually launching this upcoming Saturday, or not tomorrow, but the 29th, next weekend, is our app. So that's just going to be like a monthly subscription for runners who might not be ready for that one-on-one, or maybe they have a run coach already, but they're looking for basically a structured strength plan that will help take the guesswork out of putting everything together. Because I think Instagram can be overwhelming when you go on and you see like all your PTs posting, like, you should do this and you should do that. And so we are hoping with the app, we would just take the guesswork out and just create something that's like straightforward, made for runners, addresses like common running related injuries, and that they could then use that at, you know, a more affordable price and do a more general plan. So
I love it.
Yeah.
I think as runners, we so many of these injuries are so common. Yeah. You know, you have your knee injuries, your hip injuries, foot, bone, shin, like different parts, lower back. They all tend to be related, right? I mean, everything starts from the ground up. So right. As, you know, tightness works its way onto one side of the body, we start to make micro adjustments that lead to, you know, potential injuries or us changing our form and maybe not rotating our shoes enough, maybe not running on softer surfaces once in a while. So what are some tips that you can share? Obviously, your drills are amazing. The strength work's amazing. And if they're signed up for the app and they see specific things they can do for their own injury, but just what are some basic tips that you could just give to runners, you know, that can help keep them more healthy?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good ones. I'd say my top like three tips is, and this has been actually, I feel like in the last year, emphasized so much more on social media, which I've loved. I'm so behind it. But obviously keeping those easy runs easy is so important. I was definitely guilty, especially in college, which we'll probably talk about, but I ran in college and I was very much like, my easy runs were easy, but they really weren't easy now that I look back on it, pace-wise, heart rate-wise, everything. And so I think a lot of like injuries come from that overuse and that overtraining cycle. And just like your body, essentially an injury is like your body signaling like something needs to change or we're going to get hurt or we're already at that point. And so I think taking those easy days easy just helps so much with recovery and allowing you to like crush the hard days and not fall into that overtraining or burnout cycle and just give your body that reprieve from like constantly being like on. And then also from like a physiological standpoint, like easy runs and everything, like it's really good for your heart. Like it benefits your heart muscle. It benefits you so much from a physiological standpoint that training above that like 60% heart rate, like it, you can't even get that. So I think number one, keeping those easy days easy is so important. And then I think strength training, obviously I'm a little bit biased, but strength training is like game changing. It's been game changing for me. And I think a lot of runners fall into this like, okay, I'm like ready to strength train, but they're like, when do I do it and how do I prioritize it? Because like as runners, our priority is running. You know, if you're peaking at 50 plus miles a week, it can be hard to strengthen or at least get the quality strengthened. And so I always encourage runners, like take those base seasons, like the mini periods where you're not like doing, you know, high intensity, crazy hard workouts, crazy high mileage, like prioritize strength. Scale back your running, put strength at the top. And that can be scary. I feel like that can be scary for a lot of runners. But then when you get into your season and all of a sudden running is at that priority and strength is a little bit more secondary, you get all the gains of like all the strength you made. So keep the easy days easy, incorporate strength training. And then I think my third day, it kind of goes, or my third tip is it kind of goes with the keep the day easy days easy, but like rest days I think are really important, and like true rest days. So I used to be someone where like I would go stir crazy on rest days. I'm like, what do you mean I don't have like a bike or a lift or a run? I would go so crazy and I'd be like, okay, it's a rest day. Like I'll do a hike with my friends, or I would just plan some activity because I wanted to be so active all the time. And honestly now on my rest days, I'm like, if I can be horizontal all day, that is a quality rest day. And I'm like proud of myself for that. And so I think like truly taking those rest days are really important too.
Excellent. Those are three great tips to share. I saw a nice question roll through. I think it was Evan R. I missed the rest of his screen name, but Evan, thanks for the question. What are your thoughts on carbon fiber shoes and running in carbon fiber shoes? And I want to extend a little onto Evan's question, because I think where I see a lot of people leading themselves into injury is because they want to run faster.
Right.
And your point about easy days and having a gap, pros don't have a problem with this. Okay. Right. They're running 4:30, 5 minute pace miles, 5:50 pace miles for their hard days, their tempo days in between, but they are also running way slower, including the Kipchoges of the world when they're not. But people using carbon fiber shoes, I know my opinion, people are using them way too much, way too often for way too many runs. That's not what they're designed for. But, you know, give me your opinion, you know, as a PT and also as somebody competing at a high level running, what your thoughts are and how that works.
I mean, I think they're really cool. The fact that like that technology even exists. I remember watching like the Breaking 2 project and like first hearing about them, and I was like, what are these like magical shoes? And now you line up to a road race and it's like everyone is wearing them. So I think they're really cool. But no, I agree. I think that they're built for certain days. Like I know for me, like I will wear general trainers just on my easy days. I'm not trying to eat anything probably. Typically I save carbon plated shoes either for like my speed days on the track or like obviously race days. I like going out in the carbon plated shoes, but I agree. I think there's a time and place. I also like, I've had the conversation with my athletes a lot, because a lot of them who aren't using them are like, well, should I get them? Because like I saw a post that says it'll have you drop like X amount of time. Like, should I get them? And I always tell them, like, I think it depends on like your goal. Like if you're just trying to like get to the line and you're trying to run for fun and you're running a slower pace, like you don't necessarily need them. And also your body needs to be able to adapt to that quicker pace, because the shoes do cycle you a little bit quicker through your gait cycle. And again, if like your body's not used to that or physically ready for that, like that can also cause injuries, just like changing any part of a running regimen. So it's usually a conversation about like what their goals are, kind of like what their paces are, obviously what kind of workouts they do. But yeah, I'm very much like, use them for a certain purpose. And if it fits for you, great. And if it doesn't, you don't need to use them.
Yeah, great answer. And, you know, from my perspective, and I've had some very advanced PhD exercise physiologists, people who really understand biomechanics and running, I think what it is the carbon plates are different in every shoe. And obviously the stack heights are different. So the position it puts us in as we run, and some are way more aggressive, pushing us way more aggressively forward. So it can really cause not all the calf muscles to be firing. So you're not using all of your calf muscles, which if you're using your regular shoes, your regular road shoes that have different composition, maybe they're a little softer, they're not as firm, they're not as stiff, you're going to engage those muscles more, which is why it's important to rotate your shoes. So that's just my piece. And I would never run in the same pair of shoes 2 days in a row. That's why I've got a whole closet full of them.
Yeah.
I have shoe dryers. I dry them. I take such good care of my shoes because, hey, man, if you're going to invest a couple of $100 for a training shoe or $250 for a carbon fiber racing shoe, man, you take good care of them. The second you get them off, dry them. You know, make sure they're clean, you know. So, and then, you know, whatever you're going to do, make sure you're not running in that shoe the next day.
I also think of it a little bit like even when I ran track, like I was very much like a middle distance runner, like 800, 400. And like, you don't do all your training runs in spikes. Right. And it's like, we would do our hardest speed workouts, like dying on the track in trainer, because this was before plated shoes. And even as you know, like in the NCAA, you can't wear like plated shoes. But it's like you do hard stuff in like the neutral shoes, the shoes that make your body work hard, just like you said. And then on race day, you get to put on your fancy, like amazing fast bikes. And that's when you go hard and you run your race and then you take your spikes off and you put on your regular shoes and you do your cool down. So I also like to compare it to that too, where it's also like exciting to put on like a fancy new shoe if you're running every day, and that it can kind of also take that away too.
Great answer. Got a question from Dugwa. I've met him up in Boston and other races. He said, I've run 6 marathons and never, ever really done any proper strength training for any of my runs. I've also not been at the gym in a long time. What is the best place to start in strength training in terms of what exercises to do and frequency in a week?
That's a good question. It's very loaded. Obviously, like everyone's super different. And I think it depends a lot on your training history. So if you're someone who like hasn't been in the gym for a long time, I would say stick with the basics. I think I brought this up earlier, but it's so easy to go on Instagram and like I put up different videos too and like see all the fancy new exercises and be like, oh, I need to do this. But like for runners, there's some foundational movements that you stick to. There's a squat, there's a hinge, a press, a pull, a lunge, there's a march. Like those basic movements, if you even just pick one category, like so for a squat example would be a goblet squat. You don't even have to get under a barbell for the first time. A hinge would be a push would be like a chest press, a pull, row, and then obviously a lunge or like a march carry kind of core variation. Pick one, go into the gym, try it out, see if it works for you. And I think that's a really good place to start.
That's excellent. Because sometimes when we go from not having had the light switch on to flipping it on, sometimes we go the other way. And all of a sudden it's like, well, now I'm going to do 10 strength training things or 12 or 14. And look, if you haven't been lifting in a long time, even if there isn't any weight on the squat bar, like a hex bar, and you have almost no weight on there, which is what it was like for me, because I hadn't lifted in a really long time on my own PT journey, you're better off to start with literally no weight and just do the motion properly, you know, having your PT watch you, or if you're doing a program with you, like through your app, somebody, you know, is going to be able to see, right? They'd be able to see how you're doing it, or you'd be able to create the exercise for them so they can watch, so they could like try to mirror it themselves when they're doing it, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's good. I mean, form is obviously important. You want to get the most bang out of your buck for the exercise, and you don't want to get hurt doing a new exercise. And so I think, you know, master the basics, get good at form, don't overcomplicate it. And yeah, I mean, I think I'm excited that you're interested in kind of starting your strength journey. That's super exciting.
Yeah, we want to get more runners involved because it's a way for us to be healthy. And just even me personally, and I'll just share being completely honest, you know, when you're not running and then you're getting to that stage where in my case, it was the Ultra G first, and that's going to be the path a lot of you might be on that are sidelined right now or injured. And then you finally can get back to the roads. It's really easy, Gabby. And you know this yourself. It's easy once you get back to the roads, then all of a sudden it becomes, oh, when am I going to do my band work or when am I going to do my strength work? So even for me and everybody else who's in that spot and they're now back on the roads and they're doing their miles, what's a good way to tackle that? Do you just do it in the morning, like 3 days a week, like scheduling it? Because I'm good. Once I schedule something, I'm going to do it. So what's a good approach for somebody like me who knows there's value in it because it literally got me back to where I am, but I don't want to lose touch with what those movements were because they really help.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of answered it a little bit. Like the structure is important. Like I feel like most of the runners I talk to are so already structured in their running routine. Like I ask them like, what do you do in the week? And they can tell me like every run that they do, the workouts, the days they do it. It's like most runners inherently like structure. That's like the nature of the sport and training for a lot of us. And I'd say like make lifting that priority in your head where it's like, just like I wouldn't miss my like morning run, I'm not going to miss my afternoon lift. And I also think being realistic. So like I work with runners who like some runners who don't do a ton of mileage and some who do a lot, or even triathletes who like their day is swamped with training. And I always, and sometimes I get on the phone with them. They're like, I want to lift 4 or 5 times a week. And I'm like, okay, I'm all for it. But like, let's start with what's super realistic. Like, what do you think you can truly accomplish in your day? So if I'm asking you and you're like, I would like to do 3 to 4, I honestly probably think I can only get to 2. Let's just stick with 2. Because I want you to develop that habit of being like, I lift in the afternoon every Tuesday, Thursday, just like your habits are. I run whatever, Monday through Saturday, every morning. That's a habit that you've built over the years. Let's make this a habit too. And I think like, that structure and having that routine and something that's like truly realistic that you know you can accomplish, even if it's like 20, 30 minutes, is the way to do it. And I also think, I will say that's a lot of like why people want a coach, because they also want accountability. They want someone to, you know, it's like, okay, if I don't get to this, like my coach will know. So I think a lot of people also look for coaches for that support.
Yeah, absolutely. You had sent me, and I found it to be very helpful, some band work, some engagement things to do before a run.
Yeah.
And I have to say that, you know, I'm someone who just would get into runs. And I love that routine that I've always had of just running ridiculously slow, so slow, sometimes almost feeling like it's a walk run.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always tried to preach that to people. Look, when you get on a treadmill and you're in a gym, we all have competitive instincts. The last thing you need to be doing is looking at the person two rows over, two rows to your left, and looking at what their miles per hour are. You're not there. You're not there to race anybody, unless it is your workout day, right? You want to warm up into that run. And I start my treadmill on like 3 or 4 miles an hour. Like it's basically like walking speed. When I'm outdoors, the same thing. I'm starting so slow until I kind of get moving. But the stuff you sent me, can you talk about some of those like pre-engagement band things? Because they're so effective, Gabby. And I think if we were doing that more as runners, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be 2 miles into a run, you know, reaching over at your hip or your glute or some other body part. So talk through that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like I started doing kind of like the band work before I ran, mainly because I don't like to just roll out of bed and run, and I'm a morning runner. And so I like to give myself about an hour before I run. I usually eat like a quick snack, digest. So I'm like, all right, well, I have some time. I love the band work. I think that it gets some muscles that like are extremely, extremely important to runners, a little bit more awake than they were before you went. I will admit, I don't do it every day. Like I'm not preaching that like you absolutely have to do the band work or you're gonna go to run and get hurt. Like absolutely not. There are some days I'm wake up late, I'm like rushing, I'm tired, I don't want to do it. There are some days I miss it, but on the days that I do like my band work before, which is usually just 4 quick things, I do feel better. Like the first mile still sucks, I'm not gonna lie. The first mile sucks for everyone, but it sucks a little bit less. So I feel like that's like it's really helpful, just as helpful as like a dynamic warm-up is. It's kind of like if you think about when you were a kid and you were doing a sport, like nobody just goes to the soccer field and starts playing. Like you warm up with your team, you go through that. That's like as you, whatever sport you played as a kid, your team, you'll always do some type of warm-up. So the same thing is with running, is a type of warm-up, whatever it looks like for you. Even if it's just a little bit of band work or a dynamic warm-up or a jog, like, you know, that's like important. It's like with all sports. If you watch sports on TV, everyone goes to the court a little bit early, does a little bit of warming up just to get their heart rate up, get the muscles warm, and then you go. So I kind of consider it like that as well.
Outstanding. I see Jen Chavarro joined and I pinned her comment. She said, please post the link.
Yeah,
to the
somewhere on
my, but yeah. I pinned that because, yes, I promise that I will find a way, and Gabby will as well, through stories or added on to this to make sure, because they're really simple engagement things. And most of us wear some sort of a belt, right? I mean, you know, whether it's for our car keys, our phone, maybe to throw some gels in, or maybe even a flask fluid bottle, you could just as easily put a band in there and take that with you when you leave your building. And sometimes in my building, I'll go to the courtyard or the roof and just do those preload engagement things outside, just because then I don't have to carry it with me. But honestly, it isn't a big deal. And believe me, you're right. Thanks for the candor there. The first mile usually still sucks too. And trust me, Gab, you're a youngster, man. Wait till you get into your 60s, man. You start feeling shit that you don't want to feel, and you'd be like, and then I'm just like, suck it up, man. Let's go. I don't want to hear it. Let's, you know, let's get it done.
In the summer, I'm like, this first mile, like, question, do I actually like running? I'm not sure. Then we get to like mile 3 and I'm like, okay, we're good.
I promise you, you do. Hey, for the people who maybe aren't following you already, and I guarantee a ton of them are going to start after this, what is your background? Like, how did you decide, like, hey, PT is for me? Why? I know you ran collegiately. I know you're doing some great things with your own running. But, like, what drew you into becoming a physical therapist? Like, how did that journey start for you?
Well, going into college, like, I knew I wanted to do something in the health professional field. This was, like, very pre-COVID. So I was like, well, you can't pay me enough money to sit behind a desk for 8 hours, because there was no remote options at the time. So I was like, I'm not working in a cubicle. There's no way. So I kind of knew I was going to work in the health professional field. I also, like, I love people. I love talking to people. So I was really drawn to that field. I had a few options, but I was an injured runner. Like, I ran in college and I was very injured. I was like the injury prone girl on the team, which sucked and I hated it. So I spent tons of hours in PT, and I think going through that myself, it really opened up my eyes to like, this is this really cool career where you empower people to like use their own bodies to heal themselves. And that to me was so awesome. And obviously being in the sport realm, which I stayed in, it was really cool to like help people get back to what they love to do. So like, you obviously get very passionate people who walk through the door when you're working with athletes of any caliber. And so I thought that was just awesome. And so in the middle of college, I decided to go kind of like the DPT route. And yeah, I haven't looked back. I work with athletes now. I don't just work with runners. I love working with endurance athletes, but I work with football players, lacrosse players, dancers, softball players, like active adults, you name it. And to me, what I thought I would like in college about like empowering people and getting to help people get back to what they love, like still stays. So I'm super, super happy with my career.
Yeah. Well, you can tell you're passionate about it. Your energy is super positive. And come on, man, it has to feel great to know, you know, in your threads, you know, somebody like me randomly just shows up and all of a sudden I'm checking out the stuff you're doing, commenting and implementing these things. Because look, I have the best damn physical therapist around. She's great. I absolutely love working with Sam. I mean, she's at Finish Line Physical Therapy in the city. I love that practice. I love everybody there. There's dogs. Who doesn't love dogs?
Right. You got dogs. It's the best place to be.
Yeah. And I had access to Alter G, I mean, you know, Normatec boots and everything down the line. But you know what? Great PTs are in demand. They're busy and they're working with a lot of patients and not just runners, you said, you know, people that are dance instructors. You get New York City's one of the most thriving dance communities in the world. So, you know, they're working with people on all ends and sometimes you don't have the ability. So I think people like yourself that are showing and showcasing these types of moves that we can do to be strong and get healthy, it has huge value. And, you know, it should feel really rewarding, man, to read on a thread that, hey, man, you really helped me because I know you helped me. And, you know, I have to give a shout out to Running Yana too, man. She's one of my favorites.
I love her.
Pink.
I give her a shout out too. She's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. So, what other topics, or let's say about your own practice, maybe some other things that we haven't talked about yet. Wait, I see a question. Hold on. Being a runner and getting injured is the reason I'm currently in training for being a flight trauma nurse. Okay. Whoever that was, I missed your screen name, but that's awesome. I love connecting the dots on how we find our chosen path in life. And obviously it works for you, but what are some other things about your business, your practice that you're looking to do and you'd be able to do virtually with anybody who might be on this live or maybe tunes into it after we hit the close button and it posts up and stays with us?
Yeah, I think one of the unique things, I get requests all the time about virtual PT because and telehealth, obviously, because I'm based in Maryland and a lot of people can't visit me in person, but are interested in having like, you know, physical therapists who like understands running and the demands of running and treating runners. So one cool thing that Go Run Stronger is offering is they're called virtual health and like fitness consultations. So basically it's like an hour where, you know, we can chat about like your injuries, about anything that you've dealt with and kind of develop a plan of care for you moving forward. And we can meet as infrequently or frequently as you want. I've done it a few times with people already and it's worked out great. And so I think that's just something I want people to know that like, although you can't visit me in person, which is obviously ideal, it's always nice to be assessed in person. As you know, you have your therapist in New York City, which is amazing. But for people who might not have like access to, you know, good PTs near them or PTs who understand running, there are virtual opportunities, not just me. There's a lot of PTs that do virtual now. I think COVID really like changed the game of healthcare and just telehealth. And so, yeah, that's an option for people that is just new, literally launched within the last week. So,
yeah. And what about gait analysis? I know it's a big thing in true, like larger PT therapy places like Finish Line and other ones here that I know of in New York. I know some ones in Boston that are really good at it too. Is that something you would think about doing or offering, you know, down the line yourself or for clients that you have that you're working?
Yeah, right now I don't. It's definitely something that I would think about. Like I've had it done to myself. I know clients who've had it done. I will say I don't really get too in the weeds about gait, just because I have very like mixed feelings about just like how much of an emphasis is on it, because to me, I'm like, when you line up 100 runners, like, no one really runs the same. Like, is there a perfect running form? I don't really think so. There's definitely like parts of a running form that make you more efficient. Like, obviously, the whole overstriding thing, like, is a huge thing. Like, if you're overstriding, it's just physiologically, you're not being as efficient as you can be. But I think you can get really in the weeds with that stuff. And so, like, I have had clients ask me, like, okay, do I need to change my gait? Do I need to become a 4-foot striker? And like, typically my big, big, big thing with gait is like cadence. I'm a big, like, I stand behind cadence, like having a higher cadence, I think is great, working on that. But yeah, I am interested in it, but also I'm kind of on the fence with like how deep I want to go. Cause I feel like people can get really in the weeds with form. And like, I've had clients tell me like, well, I was told by this like gait analysis, I need to become a 4-foot striker because I was a heel striker. And then I became a 4-foot striker and then I hurt my Achilles. And I'm like, yeah, because no matter how you run, if you land on the ball of your foot, you're going to stress your calf and your Achilles a bit more. If you run your heel, you're going to stress like your shins and your knees a little bit more. Ideally, I don't want either, but if your body isn't ready for one or the other, like it can still lead to injuries even if you become a different striker. And yeah, so that was a long-winded answer to, yes, I'm interested, but also like, I am very careful in that realm of like getting too in the weeds.
I like it. And I appreciate your openness on that topic because I read way, way too many articles trying to influence people, telling them that heel striking is bad. I will show you so many marathon runners that have crushed it over a lifetime, heel striking. Okay. There's nothing wrong with heel striking.
Right.
Most people who land on their toes or in their forefoot have a high arch, and that's the only reason that they're doing it. Or maybe they were a professional dancer or something along those lines. It's not usually, you know, unless you're sprinting and you're 100 meter, you know, running sprints and dashes, et cetera. But yes, be careful with your form. Yeah. You want to have it looked at, but I also think it's very suspect. Gait analysis overall on treadmills, some people just don't feel comfortable running on a treadmill. They don't run with their same form that they would outside. So for me, if I were ever going to counsel anybody on their form and having it looked at by someone who really understands the biomechanics side of it, have it done outside somewhere where you're comfortable. Run on a hard packed dirt trail or even on the track or somewhere where you can easily get some camera angles and film it and feel like you're really running with your proper running form. Not maybe how you feel on the treadmill or a belt and there's people around you and maybe you just don't feel right and you're inching up towards the front of the belt or the back of the belt and all of a sudden you start making adjustments. So yeah. We're totally on the same page there.
Yeah. And I also just to add the last thing, like I've worked with a lot of runners who have come to me and, you know, told me like, I was told that I'm injured because of the way that my foot strikes the ground. And then I don't change their form at all because we're virtual. So I can't even see them in person, but I give them like a great strength program. I manage their training load and all their injuries go away. So it's like, but they were told, and it was like the fear monitoring of like, the reason why you're hurt is because your foot lands like this on the ground. Like you need to fix this. And then we don't really fix it that much. We kind of work on cadence. Like I said, I think cadence is great. We like do the training load stuff. We add in some good strength and then they ended up okay. And they still probably run probably a little bit better, a little bit more efficiently, but I didn't like do this drastic change to how their foot lands on the ground.
Great answer. And here comes a good question from John Gray, 6257 from New Zealand. How does nutrition or lack of it affect injuries? John from New Zealand. That's a great question.
Yeah, that nutrition is so, so important. At the end of the day, like fuel is so important to like every part of injury prevention. I think the best example I can give is bone stress injuries, just because it's the easiest to kind of like splay the continuum. But basically like when you are in a period, so your bones like break down a little bit naturally, that's good. It's not a bad thing. Like even that's why they tell runners like do plyometrics, like do stuff side to side because you don't just want to be going in one direction. But if you're not fueling enough and like your bones can't keep up with that, like breakdown, rebuild, then just becomes breakdown. And then you end up with splints, stress fracture, et cetera. Like the continuum goes on. And that kind of stays for most injuries. Like if you, like when you run, like you're putting a lot of stress on your body. And if you can't fuel that, then it's just going to break down until you end up getting hurt. And so like typically, like I don't emphasize like weight loss to a lot of runners. Like if they're like, hey, like I want to train for this marathon and I want to lose 10 pounds. I'm like, that's fine. Like, everyone has different goals, but they should be very, like, separate. Like, you know, if you're trying to train for a race or performance, like, you got to feed your body. If you want to do weight loss, like, that's okay. But, like, maybe don't do that in the marathon training setting. Or I just tell people, well, instead of, like, trying to cut the calories and end up in that, like, really, really precarious, like, you're breaking down and not building, just eat a little bit healthier, maybe more whole food, maybe like that whole 80-20 perspective I think is great. And sometimes that weight loss can happen naturally, but you're not like actively cutting or not fueling enough.
Well answered there, very balanced and well-rounded. And I'll add a little bit on the nutritional side just from my own perspective. Yeah. So two partners that I work with, who I'm an ambassador for and believe so strongly in, our Insight Tracker. And there's a code there in my Instagram bio on my link, you know, for like 25% off testing. If you're going to be chasing marathons or maybe trying to qualify for Boston, or maybe marathons aren't your thing, maybe running half marathons or 5Ks are, whatever your interest in running is, and if you're just getting involved in the sport or you're seriously engaged in it, if you're going to be putting miles on your body continuously, cycle after cycle, and you don't know what's going on, quote unquote, on the inside, that's my Insight Tracker plug. You need your blood work done regularly. You need to understand where your vitamin D, your calcium, your iron, your ferritin levels are. There's so many different markers that can be affected. And for somebody like me, I have celiac. So my partnership with Insight Tracker is really important because I have absorption issues, and so does anyone with celiac disease. So we don't absorb things the same way a regular person does. And we have so many things that are off limits for us. We can't have wheat, we can't have barley, we can't have rye, which is in almost everything that we eat. So the Insight Tracker plug, getting your blood work done regularly, you can see and monitor what's happening with your body. Women have periods, women have menstrual cycles. They have different loads to measure and worry about with their running. They have to look at different markers for themselves on the blood side. And then on the supplement side, I work with Prevenex, also a discount code in there. My D, B12, folate, and calcium were so low for so long. I'm talking about 3 years worth of test cycles for Insight Tracker. And working with Prevenex supplements, I'm now above, I used to call it the hard deck, you know, like the below line, which is where you don't ever want to be. So that's had an enormously positive impact for me. So again, for anybody out there that might be struggling with some of those nutritional things, because as Gabby pointed out, 100% my stress fracture, almost, you can never know for sure, is almost certainly wasn't related to vitamin D, calcium, celiac related things, absorption issues. So for all of you out there, you need to know what's going on the inside with your blood work.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's all really, really important.
Good stuff. Does anybody have any more cool questions for Gabby or me as we're rolling along? Because we've had a really nice group. Lots of good questions. Or Gabby, is there any other topics maybe you didn't get a chance to hit yet or are thinking of that you'd just like to share with so people will understand kind of the whole value proposition?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the last thing is that our Shreds program opens up on not tomorrow, but the next Saturday. So that's obviously a really big thing that has been in the works. And I think my hope is that we just reach so many runners and like empower them to feel so strong, and that like all the strength that they get through the app translates right to running, whether it's performance, whether it's injury prevention, whether it's recovery. That's a huge thing. A lot of my runners have like talked about implementing strength as their recovery game has just gotten so much better. Like they hit that hard workout and they're like, I don't feel destroyed after I run a race. And I'm like, I'm good in the next 2 days. And I'm just really grateful that like my current clients, like they're the fuel to all this, like having such a great experience with them and just wanting to touch more people. And so I think like the app is coming out. It comes out not tomorrow, but the Saturday after. And so we're just super excited to reach more runners, empower them, help them with their injuries, help them feel stronger, feel more recovered, perform better. And yeah, it's just a really exciting time. And I'm excited to see kind of what follows after that.
Love it. I will make sure to share that in my stories, on my page, links to it so people have easy access to it. And Jen Shavaro has another question. She wants to know, what are we both training for? Fall marathon. So you go first, Gabby.
Well, I was going to say congrats else to you, but you'll talk about that. I'm training for Toronto Marathon, Waterfront Marathon. It's in October. I'm super excited. I definitely chose it because I want it to be really cold. And also my best friend and one of the coaches that I hired lives in Toronto. So I get to see her too. She was my former teammate at Maryland. And now we do long distance friendship because she was recruited from Canada. And so it's a lot of wins to go out there. And I've heard like really great things about it. And so, yeah, I'm really, really excited for it.
That's awesome. I actually haven't run any marathons up in Canada. So let me know how it goes.
There's cold.
Great races up there. Yeah. We like to run in the cold. We'll take the cold over this.
Yes.
Yes. Heat wave.
Yeah.
And for me, Jen, I'm running Berlin, Chicago, and New York. And if all goes well and I'm able to finish, it's my second time running all six Avid majors in the same year. And there's only six people in the world that have ever done that. So I'm hoping to be the seventh. So hopefully I can stay healthy, keep doing all my exercise and strength work with Gabby's guidance and assistance and help, and stay on the roads and stay strong and finish off this year with a bang and just keep it rolling. So good stuff. Really appreciate the questions. You guys have given some great questions as we're rolling along. It looks like maybe, oh, there was another one I saw. No, I don't know what that was. I see a plus button down here. What is this for? Request to join. Yes. Okay.
Probably. That's
my friend John Hancock is joined, but I don't know why he had that request to join, but I just waved to him. My brother John is down in North Carolina running the Nationals. Masters Nationals are going on right now, which is really exciting. So people are competing in all sorts of track and distance events in the Masters running community. So that's exciting. So anyone else have any questions as we're getting towards the end here, as we're getting ready to wrap up? And of course, this is IG Live, everybody. So this will stay up on my page. And as long as the collaboration thing goes okay, it'll be on Gabby's page too. So it'll be super simple for you to see and follow us both, or to reach out to us and ask us any questions as we move forward. And Gabby, anything else, anything you can think of we didn't get to? Maybe a couple of the most common injuries that you see, something like that. Talk about that a little.
I feel like shin splints are like literally the runner's nightmare. Been there. They're terrible. Shin splints are definitely interesting too, because there's so many factors that go into it. Like obviously mobility and strength is huge, but like training load, nutrition, stress, like kind of you touched on it too, like it is such a complex injury. And so I work with runners who have shin splints or just bone stress injuries, and they're definitely one of the most frustrating ones to deal with. And yeah, they're a tough one. I've been there, done that. But yeah, that's I think like one of the top ones. Runner's knee is obviously a big one. Runner's knee, though, I will say, like, I feel like more and more there's just more education about how important the hip is in terms of runner's knee. Like obviously you want to strengthen the quad, but I think a lot of injuries that happen at the knee, people are just learning more about how interconnected it is with the hip, and like understanding that like just because there's an injury at one joint doesn't mean that you can neglect the joints, you know, below at the foot and ankle and also above at the hip. And so I feel like people are getting better at treating runner's knee and getting better quicker who are dealing with it, because there's like that wealth of knowledge of like, yeah, let's hit the quad, like let's get it better, but also like let's hit everything else. Runner's knee I think is big. And then I would say all like kind of like the hip, there's like a bundle of hip things that people deal with. So like IT band syndrome, it's at the knee, but it stems from the hip, is obviously a big one. Like I know a lot of runners deal with like gluteal tendinopathy. That's a big one. But it's nice because a lot of the information that's out there, like what I put out, like what Ronnie Running Yana puts out, is all super helpful for all of that. And the program that we're putting together actually has rehab programs, like a foot and ankle rehab program, a healthy hip program, and a runner's knee program, and more to come. And so, again, I feel like it's always good to, you know, get in the weight room, even if it's a little intimidating, and just like work out those muscle imbalances, get really strong and get out of the injury cycles, because it can be really frustrating for people.
Yeah, that's what we want, man.
Yeah. I mean,
our mindset and how we live is just improved so dramatically when we can run. And for anybody who's tuned into this, is first off, thanks. We've got the best fucking audience, man. So I had to drop the F-bomb for extra emphasis, but we had a great audience, great questions, super engagement, really fun. Gabby, you've been awesome. But honestly, when we can't run, we're just like not even close to being our full selves. And we're just, we struggle so much in every other aspect of our lives because we're sidelined. So my plea to all of you, and I give the point finger, is, man, just don't slack on this stuff. Because if you just think back to what it's like when you can't run, when you can't train, when you can't race, even forget racing, even if it's just going out the door to run 3 miles every day for your own mental health, to clear your head or deal with grief or whatever situation you might be facing in your own life. We're all better, man. We all function and are just happier human beings when we can run and move through space and time. So do these little things. They're not that much. Yes, it's going to require planning. It's going to require scheduling. And thank you for sharing that tip, Gavin, because that's what I need to do. The same way I go on my phone or in Outlook or in Zoom or do all this stuff. I need to schedule it. I need to plan it the same way. Okay, here's my window when I'm going to run. I need to plan it.
Right.
And if there's days when it's before or after, as long as there really is no impact, you know, that's really the key. Because if you start to do this consistently, and that's the reason you're launching this whole business with strength training. Once you start strength training and you start lifting weights and start feeling stronger and looking at yourself and seeing your body start to transform, it's not that hard to keep it going. The issue is getting through that beginning phase, right? Of making it part of your routine, right?
For sure. And I think you nailed it. Like, we just want to run. Everyone, every single one of us are better people because we get to run, we get to move our bodies, whether you're just running for health or you're running for like a race. I think it benefits us all so much from a physical, mental, emotional standpoint. And so being able to, like, not being able to do it, I feel like is just, it's terrible. And like you said, just doing the little things, it makes the difference in the long run, as we both have experienced. So,
yeah, well, this has been so fun. Getting to chat with you, Gabby. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome.
Super excited. It's been fun following your page, and I'm just so excited to see what you have going. I hope you get lots of momentum off of this IG Live. Hope you get lots of new people following you and maybe signing up for your services. I think the strength training, I think I have to sign up myself, man. It's a forced way for me to do it, and then I can share it on my own page. And you know, it's mutually beneficial, because I promise you, anyone who hasn't added some of these things in, your running will improve. I promise you. And I don't necessarily mean you're going to start beating your 10K times. I just mean everything about your running is going to improve. You're going to feel better about your running, and you're going to have less injury stuff to juggle and manage. So get started with it. And let me know, let Gabby know how it's going, man. Hit us up, send us a DM, copy us on a thread, and just let us know what you got out of this seminar, hopefully. And my plan over the summer is to do a few more of these, because I really feel we need guidance from practitioners from different areas. And Monday, I'm going to host one with my acupuncturist, my dry needler. He's had a tremendous impact for me on managing injuries and keeping me healthy. Injuries that really aren't injuries, they're on the border that could be an injury, and then he helps mitigate those. So, and I'll probably going to get my deep tissue massage therapist on, and we'll talk about things that she does with me. And any other suggestions people have for like talk tracks like this that can keep us healthy and keep us fit, you know, let me know, and I'll be happy to host more of them, because it's really fun to chat with you all. And listen, man, we got the weekend coming, man. Make sure you get those miles in, people. Get your strength work in, get your training in, and let us know what races you're all training for so we can root you on. And thank you all for joining. Gabby, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. And I was also going to say, you're like literally marathon running goals for everyone out there. You're like, my dream is to run all the majors, and you're like, yeah, I'm doing it in a year. So you are amazing. I know you've already done it, but yeah, you are incredible. So thank you so much for having me, and thank you for like your impact on the running community, because as you know, it's big, and it's been so cool just connecting with people like you and so many others.
Oh, that's so kind. It means a lot, and I appreciate it very much. And we all got to support each other, man. That's what it's all about. And we got to get more people out there. That's what it's all about, man. I sign off every podcast. I'm going to sign this live off the same way. I tell all the runners to keep lacing them up, to to keep getting out the door, and always remember to stay in the fight. Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, that was so fun. I really enjoyed Gabby's energy. And we had a terrific interaction with our IG live audience. We were blessed to host that convo on a Friday afternoon. We had lots of folks on, extremely engaged, asking great questions. So it really made it a fun chat. And it was terrific to learn what Gabby's up to during my own journey back from injury with my stress fracture. I found Gabby's page and really focused on a lot of the bandwidth and strength work that she was doing as a physical therapist, not only for her own running, but with runners that she coaches. And once she let me know about this Go Run Stronger business she was launching with her husband and another running coach, I thought it'd be a great idea to have her on and take questions and give runners an opportunity to learn about some other things they can do to really maintain their running strength and health and be on the roads more and stay off the sidelines. So it was fun. It's the first of a series of conversations I'll be hosting, and look forward to having more of them. So hopefully you will enjoy this listen. And if you get a chance, pop on IG Live and take a watch as well. All the best runners. Keep lacing them up. Keep getting out the door. Always remember to stay in the fight. Peace out, my friends.